Good morning, everybody. Good to see each one of you here. It's always nice when we have good weather on the Lord's Day morning. And hope you're having a good week. Please keep those on our prayer list in your prayers. You could just say, God bless everybody on this list. But I think it's better to pray specifically. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, specifically for those. And if you know what's going on with these people, why, you can pray, and you can pray boldly. Pray in Jesus' name for healing, for strength, for wisdom, for guidance. And, of course, we always need to keep praying for our nation and our world. Let's stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We do have a faithful God.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings mine and 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning,
new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
How many of you saw the moon turn red this week? A few of you did. I didn't see it. Joyce Campbell took some great pictures, and that's the only way I saw it. I got up and looked a couple of times, but I missed it. It was either cloudy or something. But God's faithfulness is amazing. You know, these people figure this thing out. They know years in advance when, you know, an eclipse or something's going to happen. God is faithful. His universe is amazing. Let's sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder at Calvary's meltdown board, where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace will pardon and cleanse with it. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Amen. Aren't we glad God's grace is greater? Turn to somebody and say, I can't believe this is the last Sunday in August. Walk with God. I want to begin in Genesis chapter 5. We're going to do a little Bible study here. It'll be fairly quick, but give you a few little scriptures. This is the best and shortest biography that anybody could ever have. Listen to these words. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Now, Enoch was the grandfather of Noah, the great-grandfather of Noah. But this is interesting. Now, this chapter is the and he died chapter. You start looking down through these verses. Let me just mention a couple of them. Adam had lived 130 years. Seth was born. Adam lived 800 years, had other sons and daughters. Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. Kenan lived a long time, 840 years. Boy, you're talking a lot of Social Security here, folks. Mahalia lived 65 years, then 895, and then he died. Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. Just think about that. But there's an exception in this chapter, and it's this guy we just talked about, Enoch. Enoch was the grandson, or the son of Jared, and he was the great-grandfather of Noah. He was the father of Methuselah. He was in Dick's high school graduating class, Methuselah. but I want to point out something in this verse. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, that's not too earth-shattering. But then verse 22 says, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. After he became the father of Methuselah, he walked with God. I don't know whether having a child made a difference in his life. I'm sure it has made a difference in some people's lives. They have a child and, hey, I need to clean my act up. I need to get right with God. I am a parent. I have a responsibility. Even though he was a 65-year-old man, he started walking with God after he had lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Now then, I want to go over to the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 11, there's another mention here of this man Enoch. He's mentioned four times in the scripture. A couple of times he's just mentioned in these lineages of various generations, various people. Listen to these words. By faith, this is Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Why was he called away? Why didn't he die? There's only one other person in the Bible that didn't die. Anybody know who that is? Elijah. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire. So there's two guys here. And they were both men of great faith, great men of amazing faith. So Enoch was taken. He did not experience death. You know, to me, that's kind of funny. I mean, they started looking for this guy, and they couldn't find him anyplace. Where is he? What happened to him? He's got to be around here someplace. To me, that's a little bit humorous. He was taken away, and it says, for he did not experience death. God had taken him away because he pleased God. It says, without faith, it goes on to say, it's impossible to please God. You know, the Bible says we are saved by grace through what? Through faith. So this man, this Enoch, he had such great faith. He walked with God. That's the key to this thing. Sometimes now in the NIV, the newer translation, the word walk is replaced with the word live. He lived with God. He spent his time with God. His days were with God. So here's this man, this Enoch, and he was just taken away because he pleased God with his faith, because he walked with God on a daily basis. Now then, this gets deeper. Go over to the book of Jude. Just one little chapter in Jude. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. In fact, Jude is an interesting book. It's a one-chapter book. Listen to these words. He's talking, he's warning people against apostasy. Jude was the brother of James and was a half-brother of Jesus. So James and Jude, they kind of go together. But Jude is warning people about the apostasy, about falling away. And he talks about these people who are just living like animals, just according to their instincts. They're not living spiritual lives. They're certainly not walking with God. And he says, woe to them, this is verse 11, they have taken the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? Well, he was a murderer, and he refused to make the right sacrifice to God. You know, Cain and Abel both made sacrifices. Cain's sacrifice was something that had grown. It was God's work. Abel's sacrifice was something that he had nurtured and cared for. It was an animal sacrifice. So they've rushed into profit for Balaam's error. Balaam was in it for the money. He was supposedly a spiritual leader, but he also led Israel into sexual immorality. So that was Balaam's error and for his greed. And they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Who was Korah? He was a guy who questioned the leadership of Moses and his brother Aaron. So these guys, they were living by animal instincts, as it were. They were in it for the greed. Cain murdered his brother. You know, it just, you can see all of this. It's not too difficult. Listen to this. It says, these men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only on themselves, their clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, uprooted and twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Well, these are harsh words, aren't they? These are amazing. Now listen to this, verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he's the one we just read about who walked with God in Genesis 5. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. He was a prophet. He was an Old Testament prophet. He prophesied about these people that had fallen away, these people who were living by their animal instincts, these people who really didn't have any intention of walking with God. In fact, they were just going the exact opposite direction. And listen to what he said. He said, "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones." Now, this is an interesting passage. This is a quote from the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch was not included in the scriptures, in the canon. And it wasn't because of this verse. It was because of a lot of other verses that just were not deemed worthy of being a part of the scriptures, a part of the Bible. So this book of Enoch wasn't there, but Jude used this one quote. And he's talking about the angels. God is coming and with his thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. And what are they going to do? They're going to bring judgment. They're going to bring judgment on this world, on those who do not walk with God. So that's just a little bit of a background onto this guy named Enoch. So let's just think about this for just a moment. You know, we do lots of things with God. We delight ourselves with God. We have a good time with God. We have peace with God. We laugh. Sometimes it borders on insanity. We laugh. We have a good time. We smile. We sing. We pray with God. We do a lot of things with God, don't we? And that's the way we ought to be. The word walk comes from two Greek words, peripateo. It means walking around. We just walk around with God. It's in the natural course of everyday life. That doesn't mean we go around saying, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul." You know, and you know, when you're eating dinner, it doesn't say, "Oh, thou God of Jeroboam or Rehoboam, please pass thine potatoes." You know, I mean, you don't have to talk in King James. You just go through the course of daily life being conscious of God, being conscious of the fact that he exists and that he cares about you, that he loves you so much that he died for you on the cross. And you can make this a very practical thing in so many different ways. I get up every morning and I walk a couple of miles, jog a little bit, mostly walk. And if I see a fire truck or an ambulance, I pray for the people that those fire trucks and ambulances are responding to. When I walk by somebody's house, I know John and Mary live in our neighborhood, Dick lives in our neighborhood. I walk by Dick's house and I pray for that old guy that lives there. I saw him twice this week driving a school bus, and I prayed for the kids on that bus. True story. And, you know, if I'm going someplace downtown or going to one of the hospitals or something, I often pray for a good place to park. Sometimes it's very tricky. I used to drive clear up to St. Vincent's up on 86th Street, and I have to park a mile away almost. I'm way, way out. And then the time you walk in and everything, we had a guy up there that was waiting for a heart transplant. And I was going up there about 3 days a week for a couple of months. And one day he said, "Well, thanks for dropping by." I said, "Wait a minute. I didn't just drop by. I drove 45 minutes up here, walked a half mile just to get in here. I didn't just drop by." So, of course, every time after that I went, he'd say, "Well, thanks for popping in or stopping by." But often I prayed, especially at the VA hospital or at Methodist, some of those places, I'd say, "Lord, please, I need a place to park. I need to save time." You can just walk with God. You can ask God to help you. You can ask God to direct you. It doesn't have to be some huge, big spiritual thing. Just ask God in that normal, ordinary walk, the routine of life. Just walk with God. And so the Old Testament tells us about this guy named Enoch who walked with God. And incidentally, there are others, Levi, Abraham, Moses. Scripture says that they walked with God. But I kind of like this Enoch guy because he didn't die natural, normal. I'd like to have that happen to me, wouldn't you? Some comedian said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." And, you know, we all kind of have that feeling, don't we? We don't really want to experience it like most people do, but Well, of course, we know it's inevitable. So we need to recognize that God loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to be filled with joy and happiness and blessing. You know, God has a sense of humor. If you don't believe me, look around. You know, God has a great sense of humor. And we don't need to come and just endure worship. I know sometimes preachers are criticized for putting a little humor in a message, but I think God wants us to be happy. I think He wants us to laugh. He wants us to be cheerful. He wants us to enjoy ourselves, not just endure spiritual things. God is a God of great joy. We used to sing a little chorus. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins will turn, your sins will wash away. Your night will turn to day. Your life, He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. So we need to do that. So how are we to walk with God? Thought you'd never, ever ask. Four times it tells us in the New Testament that nothing is impossible with God. I won't go into all of those texts or anything, but we need to remember that God loves us. He cares about us. There's nothing impossible with Him if we trust in Him. So how are we to walk with God? Well, first of all, in newness of life. In newness of life. Romans 6:4 says that, don't you know, Paul's writing to people who have been baptized. He said, don't you know that all of us who were buried through baptism into Him, into His death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should live a new life. The King James says, walk in newness of life. Again, the word live and the word walk are interchangeable in some of the newer translations. So we are to walk in newness of life. That means we need to be born again. That means we need to be baptized. If we haven't been baptized, we need to begin to walk in newness of life. You know, baptism is a perfect picture of the death. Jesus died upon the cross. When you stand there in that baptistry in an attitude of repentance and faith, you're dying to sin. This same chapter says, even as Jesus died for sin. And then we're lowered in the water. We're buried in the water of Christian baptism, even as Jesus was buried in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And then when we come up out of that water, it's a beautiful picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And when we come up out of that water, Romans 6 says we can walk in newness of life, walk in new life, live a new life. It's a beginning. It's a beginning. Then we are to walk in faith. Walk in faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy to walk by sight, but it's not always easy to walk by faith, is it? We need to trust God. We need to walk by faith. We need to make godly decisions by faith. You can't always prove something that you want to know. You can't always discern the will of God in an exact, specific way, but you can take a step of faith. You can trust God and walk by faith. Trust that God will lead you. Trust that God will bless you. Remember that we are saved by grace through faith, through trusting in Him, not by works, lest anyone should boast, not by wisdom. We could never be wise enough. We could never have enough knowledge. We're not saved by a wealth, works, wisdom. We're saved by grace through faith. And you know, that's a good thing. In fact, that text says it's the gift of God. If we had to be saved by good works, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If we had to be saved by wealth, we'd be in trouble. If we had to be saved by wisdom, most of us would be in a lot of trouble. So we are to walk in newness of life. We're to walk by faith. The book of Hebrews tells us, let me turn back to that very quickly. You have that on the screen. Again, in the passage it says, they shall never, that's not the right text. I'm sorry. Forget that. I gave him the wrong one. it should be Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. We are to walk by faith. We have to have faith in order to please God. That's what Enoch did. So, in truth, we're to walk in truth. 2 John 4, we need to be honest. We need to tell the truth. We need to make sure that we are speaking the truth. You know, it's easy to fudge. There's an old story about a minister was walking down the street and he saw a bunch of boys and they had a little dog. And he said, "What are you boys doing?" They said, "Well, we're seeing who could tell the biggest lie, and whoever tells the biggest lie gets the dog." Minister said, "Why, boys, I'd be ashamed. When I was your age, I would never tell a lie." They said, "He wins. Give him the dog." Give him the dog. You know, telling the truth means that we don't slander, that we don't gossip, that we don't speak any unkind words. That all goes with the truth. And then we are to speak, or then we are to walk in love. 2 John chapter, just the one chapter, verse 6 says, let me read verse 4. "It's been given to me great joy to find your children walking in truth." So we need to walk in truth. And in verse 6, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is to walk in love." So we're to walk in obedience to his commands, and we are to walk in truth, and we are to walk in his love. And we have to be careful, don't we? We don't want to judge people by their outward appearances, whether a person's got a tattoo or some piercing or long hair, or, you know, styles change, different things change. We need to judge people with a loving heart, recognizing that we are imperfect people too. If we want God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Forgiveness and kindness. And so we need to walk in love. We need to show unconditional love to others. God did that for us. God so loved the world. He loves people don't even believe in him. He loves people given a chance would shake their fist in his face. We need to walk in unconditional love. We need to love one another. And then fifthly, we need to walk in obedience. We need to walk in obedience. And 2 John, verse 6 again. Just read this just 2 seconds ago. "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." We need to walk in obedience to his commands. That means we need to be obedient to him. That means that we tell the truth. That means we love others. It means that we walk by faith. All of these things we've been talking about in a brand new life. You know, my best advice to a young couple getting married is just walk with God. My best advice to a young person heading off to college or school or vocational trade is just walk with God. My best advice to almost anyone under any circumstances would be just walk with God. You know, the problem is that it's real easy to walk with the worldly crowd. I was talking to a kid one day and he said, "Just run around with this crowd." I said, "Yeah, that's the cursing crowd. It's the immoral crowd. You know, it's the wrong crowd. And that'll get you in trouble every single time." So there are too many walking with the worldly crowd. We need to walk in obedience, to walk in obedience. And then we need to make sure that when we live our lives like Enoch, that we certainly walk in God. Walk in wisdom, walk in truth, walk in love, walk in good works. We need to walk in good works. Do good works. That means to get involved in ministry. That means to call on shut-ins. That means to pray for people that need prayer. That means to visit the sick. That means to help. That means to share your faith with other people. There's so much here. It's all simple. It's all simple. You know, we need to bring our nation back to decency. back to morality. And the only way we can do that is to walk with God. The only way we can do it. Enoch walked with God. Noah did. Levi did. Moses did. Abraham did. They walked with God. Are you? Are you walking with God? I mean in the normal, regular routine of everyday life. Are you walking with God? Walk with God through His Word. We need to walk in wisdom, don't we? Walk in wisdom. That means get into this book of wisdom. This is the book of wisdom. This is the book that we need to walk in. It's the book of wisdom. It's God's wisdom for us. And we all need this. So bring our nation back to walking with God every day, every night, every minute, every hour. And again, that doesn't mean walking around, you know, spouting pious platitudes. It means what I think it meant for Enoch is just to talk, just to take God into consideration in every activity of every day. He walked with God and they couldn't find him. I still think that's funny. Where is he? What happened to that guy? I'm not interested in company type Christians or a company type church. No pretense. Let's just walk with God every day. Let's all walk with God. And, you know, probably the most famous verse about walking is in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid because God's with me. I've been walking with God, not changing it now, not just going to walk with God now that I'm passing from this life into death and into eternal. I'm going to start walking with God now. And we should dread death in proportion to how little we walk with God. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love and reminder, for this word of encouragement to walk with you, even as this ancient man, Enoch, who lived before the flood. We know the flood didn't even come till after Methuselah had died, many hundreds of years later. But there were those who, like Enoch, perhaps delayed your judgment. From those who, like him, walked with you. Remember, Adam and Eve walked with you in the garden, but they were disobedient and they were cast out of that garden. Father, we've been living in a fallen world ever since. Help us determine today, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of our lives every day to just walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this hymn of invitation and decision, Just As I Am, without one plea.
I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Well, thank you all for being here. Come back, bring somebody with you. Next weekend is a Labor Day weekend. And maybe a few folks away, but I hope you'll come. And again, bring somebody with you. And hope you walk with the Lord this week. please keep praying for those who are on our list. And we got a bunch, and a lot of them are extremely serious. So just lift them up to the Lord, and you'll be blessed as you pray for them. So, Scott, you're sitting over here with a guitar. Can you pray for us too?
I can.
All right, thanks.
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for today. We're just so thankful for all the many gifts that you give us. As Shannon just spoke, and just help us to walk with you each and every moment of our lives, focusing on those things that will further your kingdom here on earth. Just ask you to be with each one of us. Watch us as we go home, and help us to return safe to here next time. Holy name we do pray.
Amen. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us.